We've been taking a little bit of time on these past Lord's Day evenings to look at various aspects of Scripture in terms of God's covenant promises. We have looked at the promise given to Abraham, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." And we saw that the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8 that this promise is the gospel, that God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed." We also took a look at the sayings of God, "I will be with you, I will dwell with you." Promises of God. And we saw that these great promises of God, "I will be with you," and "I will dwell with you," these are great promises of God which are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are promises, yes, given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but they are given to us too. The very same promises. And that's what God's covenant is all about. God's promises given to Abraham, given to us, and they bind those promises, bind the Scriptures together as we see them fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like us to look at another aspect of this covenant view of Scripture, if you would. The promise given to Abraham of a land. And we see that promise in Genesis chapter 13, which we read just a little bit ago. And if you'd turn there with me again to Genesis chapter 13, we'll see how this promise given to Abraham affects you and me. "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, 'Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and to your descendants.'" Amazing, amazing promise which God gave to Abraham. Abraham standing on high ground, and God says to him, "I want you to look around now, Abraham. I want you to look to the north, as far as you can see. I'm going to give you this land. I want you to look to the east, as far as you can see. I'm going to give you this land." Of course, Abraham could see out into the Mediterranean. "Look west, as far as you can see. I'm going to give you this land." I don't even know how far Abraham could see. I'm sure if the weather was fair, he could see quite a ways. Quite a few miles. A long ways. "Look south, Abram. As far as you can see, I'm going to give you this land." And then he says, "I want you to march up and down this land. You'll walk on it. And where your foot falls, you can be sure I'm going to give you this land. And I'm going to give this land to your descendants after you." What did Abraham see? Well, I'm sure he did see a huge physical land. A great expanse of geography he could see. Look at Genesis 15, beginning with verse 18. It says, "On that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, 'To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river Euphrates.'" You look on a map, I'm telling you, that's a lot of land. That's a big piece of property. from the river of Egypt as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Kenite and the Kenizzite and the Kadmonite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Rephaim and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Girgashite and the Jebusite. These lands I'm going to give you. I wouldn't be surprised, to tell you the truth, that when Abraham was on high ground and he looked north and south and east and west, he could see a lot more than just this specific piece of geography that God outlined. I wouldn't be surprised if that were the case at all. In fact, I have a good idea that that was the case, that Abram saw a lot more. Why? Because Abraham had spiritual eyes. And Abraham looked for a lot more than simply a physical land that was laying out there before him. I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go back to Genesis 13 and read a little bit more, but look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, 9, and 10, tell us what Abraham was looking for. Hebrews 11, 8, 9, and 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. He knew he was to receive a land, a country as an inheritance. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Why did he look, or why did he live in this land as an alien, as a foreigner? Well, verse 10 tells us. Why? For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He wasn't looking so much for a physical land as he was looking for a heavenly city, a city not built with human hands. He was looking for the city of God, the city whose foundations were laid by the living God. Abraham had spiritual eyes, you see. And I dare say that when God made him this promise concerning the land, and he said, look north, Abraham, and look south, and look east and west, I dare say he looked with spiritual eyes. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Oh yes, he saw that physical land which was there. But he saw a lot more, because he was looking for the city of God. Look back now at Genesis 13. And let's read verses 5 and following in Genesis 13. Here's another evidence of the fact that Abraham saw a lot more than this physical property. Genesis 13:5. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling in the land. And Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated each from the other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Well, there is the familiar story. And on high ground, Lot and Abram survey the terrain. And Lot looks at the lush valley and he says, "I'll take it. Looks good to me. I'll take my flocks and my people down there. Good land." Abram says, "It's yours. Go ahead. Have at it." It's in the very next verses that God says to Abram, "Okay, Abram, I want you to look around now. I want you to look north. What do you see? I want you to look east into that valley that Lot chose for himself. And not only into that valley, but look over it as far as you can see. I'm giving it to you, Abraham. It's yours." Lot said, "I'm going to go down there, to be sure, but I'm giving it to you." Look south. Look west. Everything you see, I'm giving it to you. And so Abram said, "Lord, I believe you." And he sojourned in the land as a stranger and as a foreigner, not looking so much for a physical land that God promised, but for the city of God. Sure, Lot chose that land. Abraham knew he was going to have it anyway. God promised it. That's the way it was going to be. God was going to give it to him. "Look around, Abraham. I'm going to give it all to you. Every bit of it is yours." And I dare say that Abraham saw a great deal. A great deal. Let's look into the New Testament now and see how the Apostle Paul interprets this promise. In Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13. To me, this is astounding. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about the promise given to Abraham. "For the promise to Abraham or his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." When God took Abram up on that high ground and he said, "Look north and look south and look east and look west," what did Abram see? The world. That's how Paul interprets it. The promise given to Abraham and to his seed that he should be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the hearing of faith. God promised Abraham the world. The whole world. Now, I don't think that that should startle us too much. I really don't. Because we've already seen that Abraham has been promised that to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand which is on the seashore and the dust which is in the earth. So numerous would your descendants be, God told him, that if anyone can count the dust of the earth, they can count your descendants. And he's already promised Abram, through you and through your descendant, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God promised Abraham not just a little piece of real estate on the eastern Mediterranean, folks. God promised Abraham the world. That's what he promised Abraham. And when Abraham looked at the promise of God through spiritual eyes, that's what he saw. And so he was not concerned when Lot chose the lush valleys of the Jordan. He was not concerned at all. He knew he had a lot more. A lot more. And I think that's the kind of perspective that each of us should have. And I'll tell you what. When it comes right down to it, this promise of the world to Abraham is the New Testament promise given to you and to me of the world. Did you know that? Let's look again at the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what Paul says here. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say, "and to seeds," as referring to many, but rather to one, "and to your seed," that is Christ. Now, when God spoke to Abram, and he said, "Abram, I'm giving you the world." In essence, I think that's what God said. "To you and to your seed, I'm giving the world." That was a promise that involved our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that's kind of neat. I really do. Now, some have a real hard time with what we're saying. If you look at Galatians again, chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, "And who will walk by this rule? And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." You know, I've had some, I hope they've been friendly arguments with some folks who have said, "This is how it is, Denny. Take a verse like Galatians 6:16. You'll notice that it says, 'And those who will walk by this rule, peace be upon them and upon the Israel of God.'" You see, to really properly understand Scripture, you have to understand that God has a separate plan for the nation of Israel and a completely separate plan for the church. The two never meet in Scripture. They are entirely distinct and must always be kept separate. Now, this is a very important tenet of a type of interpretation of Scripture. Let me read you just a few lines from a book called Dispensationalism Today. It asks the question, "What is the sine qua non of dispensationalism?" "A dispensationalist keeps Israel and the church distinct. This is stated in different ways by both friends and foes of dispensationalism. Fuller says that the basic premise of dispensationalism is two purposes of God expressed in the formation of two peoples who maintain their distinction throughout eternity. Gabaline stated it in terms of the difference between the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God. Schaeffer summarizes it as follows. The dispensationalist believes that throughout the ages, God is pursuing two distinct purposes. One related to the earth, with earthly people and earthly objectives involved, which is Judaism, while the other is related to heaven with heavenly people and heavenly objectives involved, which is Christianity. Now, this is a very popular way of interpreting Scripture, that whenever the Bible speaks of Israel, it means the nation of Israel. And whenever the Bible talks about the church, it means Christians. And the two are to be forever kept distinct. They are not the same. God has two separate purposes in mind. He has Israel in mind, and He has a plan for them, and He has the church in mind, and He has a plan for the church. And some will say that if you rightly divide the word of truth, you have to make this division between Israel and the church. Now, what I'm saying this evening is, in essence, that that's a false way to view Scripture. Look, if you would, at the third chapter of Galatians. And I think this is rather important. And it has some profound practical implications. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Now, I think I would rather follow the Scriptures here than follow this other interpretation, so-called. What the Apostle Paul says is very clear. God promised what? He promised the world to Abraham. And Paul says that if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. And that promise, folks, is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no question about it. How is it fulfilled? Well, what do we look for as Christians? What do you look for as a Christian? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 3 and verse 13. What are we looking for? Here is what we're looking for. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's what we're looking for. And folks, when God said to Abraham, I want you to look to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west, and He was saying to Abraham, the world. And Abraham saw that world with spiritual eyes, looking for the city of God. Abraham was looking far into the future, to the new heavens and to the new earth. And that's our hope, your hope and my hope. And it's fulfilled for us, it will be fulfilled for us when Christ comes a second time in glory. And we will be caught up be with God forever, He's going to give it to us. Revelation 21. John saw it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He shall wipe every tear away from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Look at the glory that God is going to give you. He's going to give you a new earth, a world, just as He promised Abraham. And that earth, that new world, is going to be a place of glory. You know what? There's not going to be any trips to the doctors for tests. Right? There's not going to be a need for antibiotics. There's not going to be a need for crutches or wheelchairs. The old things will be passed away. This is what Abram saw. He looked for the city of God. And when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we become heirs of those same promises. And God's going to give a new world to us. It's a glorious place. No more crying. No more death. No more mourning or pain. No more arthritis, huh? Praise the Lord. The first things have passed away. Folks, this is what you're an heir of. It's for you. And don't let anybody say it's different. There are some folks who are going to say, oh yeah, now God has a plan for Israel and He's going to give them a world out here. And something different for you. It's pretty nice, but they're special. They're special. I've sat in church school classes on a Lord's Day morning and heard the question asked, who are God's people? And the response has been, oh, the chosen people of God are the nation of Israel. And I wanted to stand up and shout, what happened to the Christians? You're God's chosen people, folks. You're the people of God. And the promises of God are for you and for your children. Praise the Lord. And God has given you the promise of a new world in which you will dwell, in which righteousness will dwell. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting. It's really something to look forward to. Praise the Lord that that's the case.